Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 45th Psalm, Psalm 45, and on in your Scofield Bible, page 620. 620, we'll read just one verse here. We'll turn a few pages to yet another verse, and then yet another verse elsewhere. Psalm 45, verse 7. We'll read it together. Let's stand, please. All of us standing for the reading of this passage. The seventh verse, let's read it together. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Turn now to the 97th Psalm. Psalm 97, page 646. In your Scofield Bible. Verse 10, we'll read that. Likewise, all together. Ready? Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Turn now to the book of... Something I got covered up here. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 9, page 1292 in your Scofield Bible. The ninth verse of Hebrews 1. I'll give you another few seconds to find it. I still hear the rustling of the pages. Then let's read it together. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And let's pray. Father, there's just a reason for being here tonight, and that reason happens to be a better reason than being anywhere else. We thank you for this church. We thank you that all the time, every service, you're faithful to meet us here. It's a sacred place. And we thank you that you've raised up people who have rallied themselves around a preacher. And we're thankful for our church family and the man of God. We pray that you'd help us tonight. Whatever our need is, we need to listen. We need to hear from thee. And we believe we will hear from thee because our preacher has first heard from thee. And he'll tell us what you want us to know. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The length of the sermon tonight will be determined by my judgment as to how much you're understanding what I'm saying. I want to get across my point tonight. I realize we're a tad later than we usually are. We're about 10 minutes later than usual. And I do not want to belabor you, but I do want to transfer what is in my mind and my heart to you, to your mind and your heart. I want to speak tonight on the subject of partnership between love and hate. The two traits, qualities, love and hate, are inseparable Siamese twins. You can't have one without the other. You can't love without hate, and you can't hate without love. Now, I'm prone to go over toward the end of the sermon tonight to start off with what I want to say, but I think I should lay the foundation for it first. Let me make a comment or two. You cannot love unless you hate. Any love without hatred is synthetic love and not real love at all. There is a partnership. God said, he said, he that loves right will hate wrong. No other way. Didn't say, he doesn't command you to hate wrong. By the way, you can't choose what you hate. I'll get to that after a while. You can choose what you love, but you can't choose what you hate. And I'll come to that. Father, bless me as I speak tonight. I want to get this across to our people. And I pray you'd help me to do so. Amen. Now listen carefully.
If you want to cure hatred, you can decide all you... Look at me now. You can decide all you want to quit hating, but you will not quit hating. There is something you'll have to do, but you cannot choose. You can walk down the aisle and say, I'm not going to hate anymore, but you're going to go back and hate anyway. You can't help but hate. Now, tonight, I want to help you. The love... Let me get the microphone here. Find it. The love-hate pendulum swings the same distance each way. Please do not take notes, and please look right at me. I said the love-hate pendulum swings the same distance each way. Hear the statement. You love exactly as much as you hate. And you hate exactly as much as you love. You hate untruth exactly as much as you love truth. I mean, your love for truth, if it swings this far, then your hatred for error or untruth will swing likewise the same distance. If you love truth like this, you hate untruth like this. If you love truth like this, you hate untruth like that. I said, you hate untruth as much as you love truth. Also, likewise, you hate wrong exactly as much as you love right. The preacher who preaches, who's far right, is also the preacher who is more vehement against wrong. Check it out. Check and find the preacher that doesn't preach against sin. That means he doesn't hate sin. You'll find he doesn't love soul winning much either. You see? For the pendulum always swings the same. You love this much, then you hate this much. You love this much, then you hate this much. You love this much, then you hate this much. I said you hate untruth as much as you love truth. I said you hate wrong exactly as much as you love right. Get this. You hate false plans of salvation exactly as much as you love the true plan of salvation. If you love the true plan of salvation with all your heart, then you hate the false plans with all your heart. If you love the way to heaven with all your heart, to that same degree, you hate the false ways, all the ways that claim to be the way to heaven but lead you to hell. You hate Satan exactly as much as you love God. Now, if you don't hate Satan that much, you don't love God much. For he is the biggest enemy that God has and the direct opposite of God. And you cannot love God without hating Satan. And you can't love God this much and hate Satan this much. And you can't love God this much and hate Satan this much. The pendulum swings exactly the same for the love of God and hatred for the devil. Now I'm going to give you about 11 statements. I want you to listen to them very carefully. They're very important. Number one, the degree to which you love people determines how much you hate what hurts the object of your love. Let me say it again. The degree of how much you love people determines exactly how much you hate what hurts the object of your love. I love our young people with all my heart. That means I hate what hurts them with all my heart. I love our young people so much I equally hate rock music. I love our young people so much I equally hate Hollywood. I love our family so much I equally hate the soap operas. And you're not going to find a preacher who is a loving preacher. No such thing as that. You can find a loving, hating preacher, but there's no such thing as a loving preacher. Because the preacher who loves the most will hate that which hurts the object of his love the most. I said, number one, the degree to which you love people determines how much you hate what hurts the object of your love. Now, number two, God is that way. God is perfect love, and God is perfect hate. God loves like no one else loves, and because he loves like no one else loves, then God hates like no one else hates. I'm a little tired of these liberals talking about those of us being hate mongers and so forth. No, the fellow who's a hate monger lets the kids go to the devil and doesn't holler and warn them about what they ought to do and what not to do. I said, God is that way. He is perfect love and he is perfect hate. Number three, again and again in the Bible, it tells us what God hates. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, these six things does God hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now, that means there are at least six things in the Bible that says God hates. So, God is a hateful God. God is a hating God. For God could not be a loving God if he did not hate that which would destroy the object of his love. If God loves you, then God hates that which would hurt you and hates that which would destroy you. Number four, even the word abomination is used of God's feelings toward wrong. God loves you so much that he hates what hurts you so much, it's an abomination to God Almighty. Number five, God is not a hemisphere with a single pole, love, on which all revolves. There are two poles to God's nature, otherwise he would be imperfect. So God evolves around two poles, the pole of love and also the pole of hatred. Listen to carefully, number seven. His is a climate that is bracing as well as balmy. God's is a climate that is bracing as well as balmy. The same God that said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That same God said, depart from me, ye wicked, your everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The same God that says, come, also says, depart. And as I said again, his is a climate that is bracing as well as balmy. He said of Jesus, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Oh, our concept of being Christ-like is somebody that good Lord, good devil, doesn't fight anything, loves everything. That is not what Jesus was. Jesus loved us enough to die for us, and yet he hated that which would keep us from coming to him. Jesus hates baptismal regeneration. Jesus hates a priest saying he can forgive and absolve your sins. Jesus hates it when the Pope has his big toe kissed. That's reserved for God himself. Any other plan of salvation other than by grace through faith, not what we do or what he did, is the object of the hatred of God, because God loves the true plan of salvation so much. And God said in Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Now, he's not commanding you. He's not saying, I command you, if you love God, to hate evil. Are you listening to me? He's saying, ye that love the Lord already hate evil. For in the package which is called love, there is also hate. And in that same package that causes you to love, the Lord causes you to hate evil. On the cross, God extended a nail-pierced hand extended a nail-pierced hand up to God, bearing the penalty of a broken law, and another nail-pierced hand reached down to fallen man and said, I'd like to take you to heaven when you die. The same God who coos, come unto me, grumbles, depart from me, I never knew you. So, no one is just a loving person. Did you hear what I said? No one is just a loving person. No one loves more than he hates. There's no such thing as a hate monger, because the more you hate, the more you love. And the more you love, the more you hate. So, no one loves more than he hates, and if one does not have the alternate attribute, he is just acting. And he said again, you folks are all gooey and all love. That's not love at all. That's hypocrisy. That's pride. That's putting on a show. Honest to goodness, real love. Billy Sunday used to say, you can't love God without hating the devil. You can't love health without hating germs. And you can't love flowers without hating weeds. And there's no way in this world. And I'll say it again. You hate as much as you love, and you love as much as you hate. Don't leave me now. So, if you love error, you will exactly or equally hate truth. If you love hate, and you can love hate, if you love hate, you will equally hate love. If you love sin, you will equally hate righteousness. Let me illustrate. I love this book. I hold in my hand another Bible that's not a King James Bible. I hold in my hand another Bible called the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Now, the honest, simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the degree that you love this is the same degree that you hate this. I love this book. If I love this book, I've got to hate this book. Now, the people that love this book are those that don't love this very much either. And if you don't love this very much, it won't upset you over this one. But if you love this old book right here, the King James Bible, has been preserved for us word for word, you'll hate with a passion that stinking book right there. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Now, there are some of you hollering amen. There are others of you saying, I don't think you ought to have done that. And I promise you, to whatever degree you love this book, you agree with what I did right there. You see? There are those of you that said, boy, I just don't think I ought to handle the Bible that way. See, you got a wrong idea what the Bible is. That's not the Bible. This is God's word. That's the devil's word right there. You see? And to whatever degree you love this book, you hate that book. I hold in my hand tonight here it is, the New Testament Living Bible Text with Pictured Bible Illustrations. And here's a hippie here they call Jesus. Now, that doesn't burn you up, you don't love him very much. Well, the degree that you hate what somebody does to our Lord Jesus Christ, make him a long-haired, effeminate-looking, looks like a queer, kind of a hippie, whatever degree that burns you up, you love the Lord Jesus Christ. I hold in my Bible hands pictures here, have men wearing dresses and so forth. And this is called the Living Picture Bible. I got news for you. Here's the Living Bible right here. Now, I say it again, I'm not preaching tonight on the Bible. I'm saying, to whatever degree you love right, you hate wrong. To whatever degree you love truth, you hate untruth. To whatever degree you love God, you hate the devil. To whatever degree you love this book, you hate this book. For any book that is an imposter book, you don't like the book and you hate it. Just saying. I hold in my hand here tonight the today's English version of the Bible. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. These scholars are trying to make the Bible easy to understand. And we ignorant folks understand the King James pretty well. So what these scholars are doing, they're making Bibles that are simple enough so the scholars can understand it. I'll tell you what the scholars can do. They can get born again. The Holy Spirit comes in to live. The Holy Spirit will teach this Bible to them. My mama went to third grade, but she understood this Bible more than the scholars do that wrote that stinking Bible right there. You say, Brother Howes, I don't think you ought to call that a stinking Bible. Then don't ever do it, but I'll guarantee you one thing. If you said that, let me ask you a question. Those of you that think I shouldn't have done that, how much of this Bible have you read in the last 7 days? Huh? If you look at me like that a little while longer, we may have a scripture quoting contest and see how much of this Bible you know. You see? Now, the honest, simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little sick and tired of those of us that love the most be calling hate mongers, and we are hate mongers. We hate sin. We hate liquor. We hate the dope traffic. We hate the murdering of unborn babies. We hate the gay lifestyle. We don't hate the gay. We hate the gay lifestyle, the queer lifestyle. And I wanted to let you know something, ladies and gentlemen. These people run around talking about love, 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 love. You know, they have as much hate. You know who they hate us as much as they love wrong. There is no hatred that quite compares the hatred that a liberal has for a conservative. So, on my knees in Arlington, Texas, over 50 years ago, when I was doubting this Bible because I made the mistake and went to a school I shouldn't have gone to, and that's one reason I'll never, as long as God gives me strength, approve any of our young people going to a school that does not believe this King James Bible. I won't do it. Now, I want to warn you, before your kid decides to go there, or before you decide to send your kid there, I was against it before you decided that. I'm not against you. I'm against anybody going and sitting at the feet of professors that laugh at God's blessed book. I was there. I began to doubt this book. I began to ask myself the question, is mother right and the Bible true, or is my professor right? And I decided to find out the difference. I decided to find out who was right. So I decided to get on my knees and on my knees read every word of this book. In one semester of college, on my knees, I read every word of the Bible. And every day when I finished reading it, I said, dear God, let me know who's right, mama or the professor. And I, by the way, those folks that don't believe it never have read it. I've told you the story about the professor I talked to on an airplane. We were flying together, sitting together. And here was a guy, I thought he was a hippie. I found out he was a professor in a state university. His shoes were muddy, and he was ill-kempt. And ill-kempt means he was filthy-looking. And I started witnessing to him. And he said, I don't believe all that Bible. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. And I don't think it's true. And I said, I bet you never have read it. He said, I have too. I have read every word of that Bible again and again and again. I said, you haven't either. They haven't done your homework. I said, you teach your students it's not true, but you haven't. Why don't you tell me I haven't read it? I said, just did, and I'll tell you again. You haven't read the Bible. Why, I read every word of it. I said, I bet you haven't read the book of Jerusalem. Why, he said, I have too. I've read that book many times. I said, I bet you haven't read the book of Hezekiah. Why, he said, I've read the book of Hezekiah. I almost quote the book of Hezekiah. I said, for your information, fake, there is no book of Jerusalem in the Bible. There is no book of Hezekiah in the Bible. And some of you folks found it out for the first time. And I said, you're a stinking fake, and you know you're a fake. And you have no right to stand up there and tell your children, your students, that the Bible is not true. You make them do their homework. You make them do their research. Now you go home and do your research and do your homework. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, anybody that loves that book right there, to whatever degree you love that book, you'll hate that New Testament. You'll hate the Amplified Bible. And to whatever degree you love it, you'll hate the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Why? Because you love this book. And you sit there and tell me that you love those books, I'll promise you, you don't love this book very much. Whatever degree you love this book, you hate the false Bibles. Whatever degree you love God, you hate the devil. Whatever degree you hate the truth, love the truth, you hate evil. So, we will equally hate the enemy of what we love. The physician equally loves health and hates disease. These doctors here, they love health. And to the same degree that they love health, they hate disease. The botanist equally loves flowers and hates weeds. The judge equally loves justice and hates injustice. The hygienist equally loves cleanliness and hates filth. The pastor equally loves his people and hates sin. We'll have young people coming from all over America. I love those kids. And we're going to knock the devil out of the devil for 3 days here, nearly, and going to knock the devil out of the old booger man for 3 days. And we're going to paint sin as dirty and black and rotten as it can be. Why? Because we love the young people enough to warn, and even love them enough to be called hate mongers and be called negative people and legalists. And be criticized. We love you so much, we'll stand before the people, let them call us what they want to call us. When you love somebody, you're going to try to keep that which would destroy them from getting to them. The philosopher equally loves truth and hates error. The pastor equally loves his young people and hates what will hurt their future. Now, here comes the message. Listen carefully to it. What is the secret then? Hear me carefully. Don't miss this. You choose what to love, and your love will choose what you hate. You can't choose what you hate because God never commands you. You choose what you love. I've said often, God commands you to love, and God does not command you to do anything that He will not give you the wherewithal to do. So you can choose what to love. And love will choose what you hate. So love is a choice. Now get this carefully. You can choose the object or what the object that you love. You cannot choose what you hate. Likewise, you can choose the degree of your love, and that same degree of hatred will automatically follow. You don't say, I'm going to hate something. You love something and hate that which is its enemy, and hate that which would destroy it. So you say, I choose to love, and love will choose what you hate. So, hear me carefully. Love is a choice, and hatred is a passion. Love is a choice, and hatred is a passion. You look at the Bible, and God tells you in the Bible what you're supposed to love. It's there. He tells you what you're supposed to love. Now, you choose that. I don't mean passionately. I mean logically, earnestly, sincerely. My God told me, oh, you say, preacher, I just don't think you ought to do anything if your heart's not in it. Now, you're a dumb bunny. My mama said to me, you come in here and wash, dry these dishes. My heart was not in it. But I dried the dishes. Why? One, because I love my mama. And two, because I hated what would happen if I didn't dry the dishes. All this talk about, you're supposed to do right whether you enjoy doing right or not. You're supposed to choose to do right because God says choose to do right. And you're supposed to love because God says to love. Now then, whatever you love, you choose to love, will determine what your passion hates. I have chosen to love God. I have chosen to love this book. So that it burns me up when somebody puts out a bunch of garbage like that. So I did not choose to hate that. I chose to love this. And the love I have for this chose for me to hate that. How then do we decide what to love? Easy. God tells me what to love and whom to love, so I can do it. For example, God commands me to love God. Well, how do you generate love? You don't generate love, you decide to love. I'm commanded to love God. Now, when I choose to love God, that love for God chooses for me to hate the devil. And I hate him. I hate him. I almost wish I'd go visit hell for a few hours so I could punch him out. I hate him. I'll fight him. As old Billy Bray used to say, he had a little, Uncle Bud Robinson's, I think it was one of them used to say, he had a list. He said, I'm going to fight the devil as long as I got a fist. I'm going to kick him as long as I got a foot. I'm going to bite him as long as I got teeth. Then I'm going to gum him till I die. Bless God, so am I. Now you listen to me. You show me a preacher that loves God, I'll show you a preacher that hates the devil with all his heart. You show me a preacher who wants folks to go to heaven, I'll show you a hellfire and damnation preacher. And you mark it down. Those preachers that don't preach hellfire and damnation on this side, they don't have, even heaven has golden streets on this side. Because of whatever degree you doubt what God says about heaven, you'll doubt what God says about hell, and to whatever degree you believe what God says about heaven, you'll believe what God says about hell. I'm commanded to love my neighbor. That means that I can choose to love my neighbor. I'm commanded to love my enemy. Oh, you say, preacher, how do you do it? You decide to do it. Love is a choice. I say it again, and so I said often here. God never commands you to do anything that you cannot choose and decide to do. Now, that means you can love your enemy, because God commands you to love your enemy. And tonight, right here, in this room, you can say, I, from this moment forward, choose to love my enemy. Command of God. For example, God says, in Psalm 40:16, I am to love the plan of salvation. I am to love salvation. There's far too much walking around this room tonight. I am to love salvation. What does that mean? That means I am to hate false ways. The Bible says I hate every false way. I hate every false way. You sit in the house, you preach against other denominations. No, I don't. I preach against Baptists that preach the wrong way to heaven too. I preach against those that say you got to keep the Sabbath day to go to heaven. I preach against those that say you got to keep the Ten Commandments to go to heaven. I preach against those that say you got to live a good life to go to heaven. I preach against those that say you take the sacrament to go to heaven. I love them. I don't hate them. I love them. But I hate with a stinking passion that thing that sends people to hell and causes folks to burn in hell forever. Why? Because I love God's true plan of salvation. That's why. I'm commanded to love the Word of God in Psalm 119, 105, 165. And that means if I love that Bible, I have to hate the false Bibles. I'm commanded to love my spouse. And you are commanded to love your spouse. And I am sick up to here of people coming and saying, a lady came to me about a month ago and said, Brother House, I don't love my husband anymore. I said, then do it. Then do it. She said, how do you do it? I said, do it. Choose to do it. God said to do it. Fellow said to me, I've lost my love for my wife. In the first place, if you ever had it, you didn't lose it. Because love never faded. But whether you had it or not, I said to that man, you can decide tonight to love your wife. Now look, listen carefully. Tonight, in this room, you can decide to love God. You can decide to love your neighbor. You can decide to love your enemy. You can decide to love the Word of God. You can decide to love your wife. And you can decide to love your husband. It's a choice. So love is a choice. You cannot choose what you hate. What you love will choose for you what you hate. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we somehow have the idea that you've got to beg God for love. You have to beg God for love at all. It's that old same old story I told so often. A fellow said one day to me, he said, Brother Hiles, I have a trouble with lying. How can I overcome lying? I said, it's easy. Tell the truth from now on. Well, how can I give up liquor? The best way is don't drink anymore. Now, you listen to me carefully. My Bible says that you can, it says that my people, or could you call by my name, hear me now, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, you say, God, give me a victory over liquor. Don't bother God with that. He's got a whole universe to run. Quit it. God, help me to quit smoking cigarettes. Best way to do is don't put any more in your stinking mouth. Now, the honest, simple truth tonight is this. We need a nation of people that love the God of the Bible and the Bible of the God. And that will cause us to hate evil, hate sin, hate wickedness, hate unrighteousness, and to whatever degree you love that book, you'll hate those books. Whatever degree you love him, you'll hate him. Whatever degree you love right, you'll hate wrong. Whatever degree you love truth, you'll hate untruth. God, give us an old-fashioned generation of independent, fundamental Baptist believers with backbone and character to do right because they're supposed to do right, to choose to do right, to love because they're supposed to love. And then once we choose what we love, we have no other choice. Because our love will decide for us what we hate. How's your love life? I'm not talking about how is your romantic life and how much you can goochie goo and moose smoochie smooch and lovey dovey. I'm not talking about that. In fact, I'm sick of people calling that love life. How's your love life? Do you love your wife? Oh, you say, I've lost all my love. Hey, I found it. Tonight, if you walk out these doors right with God, you hear me carefully. If you walk out these doors right with God, you'll walk out those doors loving your wife. If you walk out those doors right with God, you'll walk out those doors loving your husband. And if you walk out those doors right with God, you'll love your enemy, you'll love your neighbor. And you'll love this book. You say it, Brother House, I just can't. Yes, you can. God said to, and God never says tells you what to do without you being able to choose to do it. So I'm not trying to get you to hate tonight. I'm trying to get you to love. Because the hatred will take care of itself. Would you bow your heads, please? We ought to make some decisions tonight in this room to love.